back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550 KDCO, FM 94.1, and FM 96.9 in Boulder, where we're not too popular probably, but you know, crickets. What the heck, crickets in Boulder, that's right. I'm Mark Knutz, along with Joel Cantalamessa, and this is our third segment of the program. Happy to bring back the former Ram standout, now rock star of the automotive world, Kyle Bell. General Sales Manager Ed Bozarth, Chevrolet. If you're a Rams fan, you hear a lot of talk these days about the autograph problem. All these guys can't, you know, they're getting in trouble for Jameis Winston and Todd Gurley getting trouble for selling autographs. Kyle will sign any autograph. He'll sign anything. Bring it down to Ed Bozarth. Come in, bring your trade in, and he'll sign anything for you. Am I right?
Preferably some paperwork, some contracts on purchasing a new vehicle. That's what I like to sign best these days.
All right, cool. So, my man, you watched the game last week, and we've got to give you props off the top because I thought you hit your prediction on the nose. Joel said you were like 4 points off, but that's still a pretty great prediction.
Well, you know, hopefully, I mean, kind of looking back, it's unfortunate that I was as close as I was. I mean, I do recall saying the Rams would score 31, so, you know, I was right on there. But, you know, in terms of they're coming back to make it a little closer than it might have, should have been, so I would have been more than happy overshooting it. But, hey, a win's a win.
Yeah, in that kind of scenario, when you're up 31-3, how important is being able to run out the clock and control the football and hold on to the football? I mean, that was one of the big turning points, Kyle, was when D. Hart fumbled. You know, I think Nevada had come back and made it 31-10, and then D. Hart fumbled right after that to give the ball right back. But, you know, that's a kind of scenario when you were playing football that, you know, you just give the workhorse the ball and hold on to the ball and just eat up clock.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I had been in that situation. We, in 2007, we were down in Houston playing. I can't remember if it was the third quarter. I had a fumble that Houston actually scooped up and took it in for the touchdown. So, you know, you never want to be in that situation in the first place. But, you know, it's just a momentum killer in terms of as an offense when, you know, they already had 31 points on the board. It looked like they were really kind of, you know, controlling the game. And, you know, it just takes a little thing like that to completely alter the momentum of and the flow of the game. And we obviously saw what happened and the way Nevada kind of hung in there, and then was able to force the turnover and kept scoring points. And whenever you're in that situation, I mean, a team that's down 28 points, you start giving them some confidence and letting them feel like, you know, they're still in that game, and that's what can happen. And like I said, you know, a win is a win. That's kind of one thing in the last, you know, you look back the last 5, 6, 7 years, going on the road and picking up W's has been a little harder than it probably should have been. But now you're at the point where you're going on the road, getting these conference wins, and I think the next step, hopefully, in that situation, they'll be able to start putting teams away in the third and fourth quarter and not have to worry about some late comebacks and then ultimately kind of coming down to the last couple plays of the game.
Hey, Kyle, Jim McElwain voiced a similar sentiment you just said, you know, a win is a win, be happy, enjoy it. But the players were less than happy after the game. You know, DeAndre Elliott intercepts the pass. And by the way, we haven't given him enough props because that was a difficult interception. The guy, I don't remember which receiver it was, and we can talk about the play earlier where the questionable offensive interference on the what would have been the tying touchdown. That was one I wouldn't have called.
No problem.
But there was contact initiated by the receiver. You can see that. But the second one was blatant, obviously. I don't think that guy thought he was the target. I think he was actually playing blocker because his back never turned his head. He was blocking. Imagine being blocked and then having to disengage from the blocker and make an interception. You got to give DeAndre Elliott credit for that play. That was a big play. But after that, you didn't see a lot of jubilation. You saw more relief. And I think the players voiced it in the locker room. They weren't real thrilled with the way that game ended. I take that as a good sign.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, as athletes, you're so competitive. You're out there. You know, you don't think of it as style points. I mean, whether you win by 3 or 33, you know, again, a win is a win. But at the same time, these players, they realize missed opportunities. They realize things that that through the course of a game, you know, what they could have done to have played better and not let them back in that game. Because again, it really comes down to if a team feels like they have any shot in that game, I mean, there's so many momentum swings that happen throughout the course of a game that it doesn't take a whole lot when you got a team that's down for them to keep feeling like they got a shot. And so being up by 20 in that situation, I don't want to say that the Rams let off the gas pedal. I just think that, you know, there was a couple key mistakes that they made, and that's what the players realized. But that is a great thing to where they realize that. And hopefully, like I said, those are kind of the things that will happen now to where they can go on the road and not only beat teams, but put it away early, you know, make it decisive to where you're not going to give that team any shot whatsoever to keep hanging in that game. And I think that's, you know, that's what separates those good teams from the really good teams.
We're talking with Kyle Bell, former CSU tailback turned business executive. Ed Bozar Chevrolet, the sponsor of this segment, Rams preview segment. Kyle, a term that I had never heard actually coined into the last couple of seasons is the four-minute offense, and that's the offense designed to run out the clock. And the difficulty with that is obviously you're trying to run the ball when they know you're trying to run the ball. Joel brought up a good point earlier in the program that the play-action pass has been very effective for CSU now because it's almost old-school offense where you're running the ball to set up the pass. But it's a different mindset when you're running the ball just to run out the clock. And we joked last week about Sonny using you in the third quarter to try to run out the clock against Colorado that one season and just ran you into the line play after play after play just trying to get the game over with. You can't really go into it with just trying to get the game over with. You got to go at it with first downs in mind. Well, what's the mentality of the offense when you got to run the ball in a four-minute offense and you got to run out the clock and they know that's what you're trying to do?
Well, you know, it definitely takes a little bit of creativity from a play calling standpoint. You're not going to, you know, you're just not going to keep running it up the middle every time. You're not just going to keep trying to run outside zone every single time. It does take a little bit of creativity on the part of an offensive coordinator to get the offensive line, involved in maybe running counter plays, running the types of plays where you still, as a defense, you have to be a little bit more reactive. And, you know, even with Garrett Grayson, he's not the most mobile quarterback that you're going to see in college football, but he is pretty mobile. Yeah. So at that same time, those bootlegs, those type of plays where Garrett's not just sitting back in the pocket where he can utilize his feet, you know, the whole thing is just keeping the clock moving. And you definitely don't want to put yourself in those 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15 type situations. But if you can chip away to where you're only facing a third down that's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, at that point, as an offense, it just comes down to how much do you want it? How bad do you want to win that game? Because, everybody in the stadium knows you're going to run it. The defense knows. But at that point, who's going to be the more physical team? Who wants it more at that point? I'm a firm believer if it's 3rd and 2, you can tell that defense exactly where you're going to run the ball. And if you just out-physical them, out-tough the other team, those are what the really good teams do. And they're able to execute on those things and put the other team away.
Kyle Bell is our guest. Tomorrow night, Kyle, is homecoming. And one of my most favorite homecoming memories, I'm guessing, is probably one of your favorite homecoming memories as well, because you were a big part of it. It was in 2005, the goal line stand game against Utah.
Mark, I remember. Oh, yes. Well,
Kyle, I know you had like 140 yards. You ripped off a 50-yard touchdown with about 5 minutes left, and it gave CSU the lead. The place was jam-packed. I think it was maybe the last sellout at Hughes Stadium. You put them up 21-17, and then CSU in the final seconds held Utah four straight times inside the 4-yard line for the victory, and the ensuing celebration and the raucousness of that crowd is something I'll never forget, and I don't think I've seen it since then, a crowd like that at Hughes Stadium. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you remember from that night, and is homecoming any different from any other game for players, or is it just kind of more for fans and family?
I mean, well, first off, that was such a fun night. I mean, I remember that being probably the loudest that I'd ever heard that stadium when we did make that goal line stand. The house was just rocking. I mean, the energy level was just phenomenal. And I, looking back on that game, Utah was coming in. They had a lot of success the previous couple of years. We knew they were going to the top one of the top tier teams in the Mountain West at the time, and so we knew well going in that it was going to be a battle, and a win would be huge, especially after the pretty good start that we had had. And so it was a dogfight, especially in that first half. I can't remember back to exactly the stats and numbers, but I really, from a yardage standpoint, I really didn't get anything done in the first half. I mean, I think I was, they kind of, every once in a while at halftime, they'll have stats and everything to kind of give you an idea of where you're at. Not for the sake of knowing the stats, but we look at what's working and what's not working. I think I probably had less than 20 yards in the first half. And they were stuffing us. They were stopping us. We couldn't get anything going on offense from a momentum standpoint. But we stayed committed to the run. We stayed committed to being physical, and we didn't really stray from the game plan. And then I remembered in the second half of the third quarter, started chipping off a couple 5-6 yard runs, and then a couple 12-14 yard runs, and we were just wearing that defense out. That's kind of one of the things when you do have a bigger, more physical back is, hey, just keep throwing them at them. And then at some point, those outside linebackers, those defensive backs, you keep hitting them and just grinding them out. By the fourth quarter, they don't want to stay in there and make those same tackles they were in the first quarter because you're going to out physical them. And that's kind of what happened. And then that outside stretch play we ran, I think we were about the 50-yard line and just kind of found a crease and was able to take it to the house. And so, yeah, everything on that run, everything just kind of quieted down. Where time just kind of slows down, you see everything perfect, and I just remember hitting that hole and taking it all the way to the end zone. But that goal line stand, obviously, that's what everyone remembers, as well as we should. That was, they had first and goal, and we stopped them.
Hey, Kyle, before we get to predictions on tomorrow night's game, tell us a little bit about what's going on over at Ed Bozarth Chevrolet.
Well, we got a lot going on. Obviously, some real exciting things happening between our two stores. We got our hail sale still continuing. Here at the Aurora store, we had that hail storm back in the beginning of June, and our Park Meadows store was just affected by that storm right at the end of September. And so, some phenomenal savings opportunities there. We still have several left on our lot, and our sister store has quite a bit as well. We also have our 2014 closeout specials going. General Motors got some great rebates on all the Chevy products. And, we're getting those new 2015s in as well. So whether you want to buy, whether you want to lease, we've also got, we're stocking up our inventory on the pre-owned car side with some 2013s and some 2014 program cars. So regardless of whatever it is that someone in the process of buying a car, whatever they want to accomplish, we have a huge selection, and but everything is going fast. So there's not a time to delay and hesitate, and want that big savings, come and get them while we got it.
Sounds fantastic. I hope that all you fans out there will take advantage of some of those sales and deals that Kyle's got going on over there at Ed Bozarth Chevrolet. Kyle, do you have a prediction for tomorrow?
Well, after last week, I kind of sat down and tried to give it a little bit more thought for as close as I was, but really, it's just going to be another grinded out type game. I think you'll see a lot of similarities, I think, to what when we went to Boston College and were able to pull that win off. I think if they stay balanced, they're going to stay committed to the run. The Utah State's got a pretty good secondary. Garrett Grayson can get out there and get some big plays to his wide receivers to hopefully break some stuff open. But I think it'll take a well-balanced attack. My prediction is the Rams 27, Utah State 20. It'll probably come down to the end of the fourth quarter, before the game's really decided.
Mm-hmm. Joel?
I think it's going to be a pretty low-scoring game. I think that CSU will come out with the right mentality. They'll have a crowd that is loud and raucous, and I think that they will take advantage of this opportunity to build the fan base and really keep their momentum going. I think it'll be a little bit of a struggle, get off to a slow start like seems to happen all the time for CSU, especially against this tough defense, but I imagine it'll be a little more low scoring, possibly a 21 to 17 kind of game.
I'll say 24-21, but we're all in the same ballpark. Hey, Kyle, we'll let you go. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there he goes, Kyle Bell, Ed Bozarth Chevrolet. We want to thank Ed Bozarth and Rams Bookstore for being sponsors of the program. That's a wrap for this edition of Ram Nation Radio. Thanks to our guest, Mike Brohard of the Loveland Reporter Herald and the aforementioned Kyle Bell. Hope everyone will be at Hughes Stadium for the crucial homecoming game with Utah tomorrow evening. Remember that 5 p.m. kickoff time. Bring your, what do they call them, Zuzuelas? We need some green ones.
Vuvuzelas.
All right. And
Cowbells,
make some noise, whatever, for the Rams. I'm Mark Knutson. He's Joel Kenslemesa. We'll be back with you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.